Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 5 of the 2026 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And guess what? Draft night is tomorrow. Prime time, Thursday, April 23rd, in Pittsburgh, PA. Roger Goodell will walk out onto the stage and announce that the NFL draft is live and that the Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock. What I want to do is I want to give you my final first round mock draft. This is kind of how I see the first draft unfolding. I'm super excited about it, so let's just jump right into it. Number one overall, I think this is the foregone conclusion. We know it's Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman Trophy winner and national champion quarterback. Clint Kubiak gets his guy. It's very rare that you get a guy who's the Heisman Trophy winner and the national champion as the number one overall pick. And I think this is really, we saw Geno Smith struggle with just a 34.3 QBR through 17 interceptions, was sacked 55 times. Kubiak needs to complete the overhaul. Mendoza, we know, high character kid, sees the field very well. The accuracy, the ball placement, arm strength to throw the ball to all three levels, can layer the football in, can drill the fastball when he needs to, thread the needle into a tight window. Fernando Mendoza, number one overall to the Raiders. You move on to number two, and this is really where the draft begins. What are the New York Jets going to do? Is it David Bailey of Texas Tech, or is it Arvell Reese of Ohio State? Some people look at Arvell Reese and say, you know what? He's going to give the Jets the opportunity to have more of a hybrid defense because you don't know where he's going to line up. Is he going to line up as an off-ball linebacker? Is he going to be an edge rusher? You really have no idea where he's going to be. He's going to line up all over the field, and you have to guess what's going to happen with Arvell Reese. The question really is can Aaron Glenn and his defensive staff develop Arvell Reese at the next level? The other option is you have David Bailey, who is a polished edge rusher. This is a guy, you know exactly what you're getting. You fire him off the ball and he's coming. He's going to come in and get after the quarterback. 14 and a half sacks this past season. He's improved as a run defender, although I think there's still a little bit of work to do. And I mentioned this before. You look at all of it, the win rate, the percentages. David Bailey was better than Arvell Reese. But look, Arvell Reese was not a full-time edge rusher. You just wonder how long will it take for him to really be able to develop into a full-time edge rusher. Micah Parsons was able to do it, all pro at both defensive end and linebacker. Remember, we always refer back to the 2023 draft when you had Trayvon Walker oozing potential, Aiden Hutchinson more of that sure thing. Look, if I'm Aaron Glenn, coming off of a 3-14 season, if I have another 3-14 season, I'm out the door. Do I want a guy that may need to have a little bit more development before we really see the fruit of our labor there? Or do you go with a proven guy that can help you out right now? I think ultimately it tips the scales in the favor of David Bailey. He ends up going number two overall. Number three, the Arizona Cardinals. This is really where it gets interesting, because what is Monty Osifort going to do? I don't know that they're going to choose an edge rusher, although Arvell Reese would be enticing to pair with Josh Sweat. You've got Jeremiah Love, the running back. We know that James Conner restructured his deal, but that's the last year of his deal. He's battled injuries. He's not coming back. You've got Tyler Allgeier that you brought in. Look, he's already been a backup to a feature back, an elite back in Bijan Robinson. So, look, you know, that's tailor-made for him to do the same with Jeremiah Love. And then you have Trey Benson, who's also battled injuries. It makes a lot of sense. If you stay at number three, that's the guy that you want. But Arizona has so many holes. Monty Osifort is looking to trade down. I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. A team is going to look to target Arvell Reese. And when you think about teams in the top 10, who is the team that is going to be most interested? It could be the Saints at number 8. Because look, you know, Cameron Jordan's gone. You need somebody to pair with Chase Young. Challenge Carl Granderson for that starting job. But I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs. Which defensive coordinator would most likely be able to get the most out of Arvell Reese in year one? Steve Spagnuolo. You allow him to have that hybrid player coming off the edge. I just look at Steve Spagnuolo. I think this will be a match made in heaven. I think the Chiefs ultimately trade up Arizona then is able to move back to number 9. And when you think about Francis Maui-Noah in that disc, that herniated disc, they say it's asymptomatic, but if he does have it flare up, you know, there would be another surgery that's required to clean things up. I think that Maui-Noah is the guy that Monty Austin Ford is targeting. And look, he traded down in 23 with you know, for Paris Johnson Jr. as his left tackle. I think he does the same with Maui-Noah there as his right tackle. He gets his bookends for whoever's playing quarterback. Really, I think this is setting up for 2027 and that quarterback class. I also think that Ty Simpson is in play. I have him coming off the board at number 34 overall, but you could also see Arizona trade back into round 1. Seattle only has 4 picks in the draft. I could see John Schneider trading out of that pick. And if Ty Simpson hasn't gone off the board to, say, Pittsburgh or the Jets, then I think ultimately Arizona could make that pick there at number 32 overall. We'll have to see how everything plays out. But Maui-Noah to the Cardinals just makes so much sense to me. If they stay at 3, Maui-Noah, that might be a little bit too rich, especially with the back issue. Jeremiah Love is the pick there, but I honestly believe that the Cardinals do get a deal done and they trade down. Number 4 overall, this is the floor for Jeremiah Love. I know everyone's saying that it's Washington, but really it's Tennessee. Tennessee, I know, would want Arvell Reese. He could be the guy that could be the Leo at Gus Bradley's defense. Robert Saleh, defensive-minded head coach. I see where that could happen. But Jeremiah Love is a difference maker. This is a running back. He's arguably the best player in this year's draft. You target Jeremiah Love to team with Cam Ward. You can address the defense all you want on day 2. This is a strong draft for edge rushers. You can get an edge rusher on day 2 if that's what you really want to target. Jeremiah Love is different. This is a 3-down back, a guy that can run with power. He can run with speed. He's got the athleticism. Heck, we've seen him do his best Saquon Barkley impression and go hurtling over defenders left and right. I think there was like a 5 or 6 game stretch where he did that at least once in every single game. Jeremiah Love to Tennessee makes a ton of sense there at number 4 overall. Moving on to number 5 and the New York Giants. This is a pick that I think is interesting because I think Caleb Downs is absolutely in play. But here's the thing. If Caleb Downs is the guy here, you miss out on Sonny Styles because Sonny Styles is not getting past Washington at 7. There's a chance that Washington could also draft Caleb Downs, but I think they're going receiver. And so you get Sonny Styles, you get that linebacker, that inside backer that John Harbaugh's always had, whether it's Ray Lewis, Roquan Smith, or C.J. Mosley, or Patrick Queen. He's always had an alpha there at that linebacker position. I think Sonny Styles is that guy. Giants take Sonny Styles at number 5. Just think about Caleb Downs here for a second. We'll get to him in just one moment. So then you move on from number 5. Number 6 are the Cleveland Browns. I think the Cleveland Browns, this is a team that could absolutely look to trade out of this pick. And, you know, I look at a team like Dallas. Dallas could easily trade up with Cleveland. Because Cleveland, look, you know, I think they need an offensive tackle and need a wide receiver. Wide receiver at 6, you know, that's Carnell Tate. They could go after him, but you've got other options there at the receiver position. You want to target a left tackle. Why? You already brought in Titus Howard. Titus Howard is a right tackle, but he also plays guard. You also have DeJuan Jones, his natural position that he played at Ohio State, right tackle. Who do you got at left tackle? That's the spot that you really need to make sure you're addressing. Maui-Noah, right tackle. Spencer Fano, right tackle. The arm length, I don't know if that works out at left tackle, although, I mean, Joe Thomas was a left tackle, but his arms, a little over 33 inches, just a little bit longer than Spencer Fano's. Fano could be the pick there at 6, although I look at this, I look at Cleveland, I think that Caden Proctor out of Alabama just makes a ton of sense. 6'7", 352, the movement skills are insane with this guy. And you get him into an NFL offensive line room. You work on some of that technique because it can get sloppy at times, the pad level as well. But Caden Proctor, you know, this guy carried the football, caught passes as well for Bama, and 40 starts under his belt. He's gone up against some top-level competition. He's tailor-made and ready for this. Fano, he's a guy that can kick inside to guard. Are you taking a guard here? Caden Proctor. If they trade down with Dallas, Dallas could probably target Mansoor Delane or possibly Reuben Bain as well if they were to trade up with Cleveland. Cleveland could trade down to 12 and still get Caden Proctor and be just fine. I think ultimately Caden Proctor is the pick there for Cleveland. So we move on to number 7, the Washington Commanders. Now, I mentioned safety as a possibility here. You know, you've got Will Harris, Jeremy Reeves, Quan Martin. They're at the safety position. I think you could have a potentially generational talent. The first time they've had that since Sean Taylor was taken with the 5th overall pick in 2004. Caleb Downs is that good. He is a clean prospect. He's like another coach out on the field, just a high football IQ player. So I think this could very well be Caleb Downs. But I'm looking at the receiver position. I'm looking at Terry McLaurin. And on the Rich Eisen show, Carnell Tate actually came out and said that Terry McLaurin is his guy. There is already a relationship there. You get Jaden Daniels additional weapons. You can still get a safety. You can still target edge rush because I think that's still something that they want to target, even though they've got Odafe Oweh and Kalaven Chase on that defensive front now. I just think that Carnell Tate makes a ton of sense here. Again, just keep an eye on Caleb Downs, but I think Carnell Tate ends up being the guy. At number 8 overall, the New Orleans Saints. Now, if the Saints don't trade up, they could sit here and take Reuben Bain again at defensive end position. They could also target a receiver. Chris Olave needs help. They need a number 2 wideout. I think they target one on day 2. They could absolutely go after either Jordan Tyson, you have the injury history there, or Mekhi Lemon with this pick. I ultimately think they target the corner, Mansoor Delane out of LSU, and here's why. Yes, the secondary was phenomenal a season ago. New Orleans gave up the 9th fewest passing yards, and Kool-Aid McKinstry and Quincy Riley really stepped up in the latter half of the season, but they don't have a true CB1. You get Delane, you solidify the secondary, and then you can move on to other positions. That's why I've got Mansoor Delane going to the Saints there at number 8. We've already talked about the Chiefs at number 9, so we'll move on to number 10, and this is where I think Caleb Downs ends up coming off the board. Why? I mean, John Harbaugh has a safety, had a safety at Baltimore. Whether it was Ed Reed, Kyle Hamilton, he always had that elite safety. You know, when he did, he didn't have it in his entire career, but when he did, that defense was on another level. Caleb Downs in John Harbaugh's system. That's why he could go 5. But I just think if the Giants go after Caleb Downs at 5, you lose out on Sonny Styles because he's not getting past Washington. I firmly believe that. If that ultimately happens and Washington does go after Sonny Styles, I think this pick becomes Carnell Tate or Jordan Tyson. Jordan Tyson is also the possibility because, you know, he shows at his workout in the middle of April that he's all the way back from any of the hamstring injuries. You know, you can talk about the clavicle, you can talk about the ACL, a lot of the injury history, but when he's healthy, he might be the top wide receiver in this year's draft. So keep an eye out there for Jordan Tyson, Carnell Tate at 10. But I think Caleb Downs, the Giants want him. So whether it's at 5 or 10, I think Caleb Downs is going to be a New York Giant. At number 11, the Miami Dolphins. I think this is where Spencer Fano could go because you've got an issue there with Austin Jackson. Austin Jackson's missed quite a few games, 20, in fact, over the last 2 seasons. Hasn't been able to stay healthy since 2021, really, and he's in the last year of his deal. You can absolutely go after Spencer Fano, have him play that right tackle spot. That would make a lot of sense. I think you could also use an edge rusher like Reuben Bain opposite Chop Robinson in Jeff Hafley's defense. But I'm going Jordan Tyson here, and here's why. John Eric Sullivan, the new GM, really cleaned house, right? I mean, they got rid of Tua. They got rid of Bradley Chubb. But who else did they get rid of? Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. You're going to need a wideout. You can wait until 30 and maybe get Denzel Boston. But I think, you know, if you get a chance to get Jordan Tyson, this guy, again, could be the number 1 wideout in this year's draft. And when you think about Tyson and that workout that I just mentioned, who was there to watch him for himself? It was John Eric Sullivan. And all the reports from The Athletic, from ESPN, from Albert Breer, everyone was talking about Tyson looking explosive. To me, it makes a lot of sense. Jordan Tyson to the Miami Dolphins there at number 11. So then you move on to number 12 in the Dallas Cowboys. If Dallas doesn't trade up, I think they're going best player available here. If Reuben Bain somehow ends up off the board, could this be Dylan Thienemann? It feels like that might be a little rich. Could it be Keldrick Falk? They do need an edge rusher. I think ultimately this pick is Reuben Bain, though, even if they have to trade up to get him. Reuben Bain is a bull coming off the edge. Don't talk to me about the 30 and 7/8 inch arms. This dude is, you know, you just watch the film. This guy's always played with short arms. It's not like that was just all of a sudden something happened and now he has short arms. Nobody was really making a huge deal out of 30 and 7/8 inch arms. All they were talking about were the 68 pressures, the 23.5% pass rush win rate. And oh yeah, you know, by the way, he also had 9.5 sacks and 15.5 tackles for loss. A constant menace. He reminds me so much of Jared Verse. There were a lot of teams that passed on Verse because he wasn't as explosive. He didn't have as much twitch. And look at what Jared Verse is doing now for the Rams. I think Reuben Bain to the Cowboys makes a ton of sense. Bring some of that physicality and attitude up front for that, the pass rush, which is, you know, in desperate need of some juice. You know, I mean, you think about it, with Reuben Bain, he can even slide inside. So if you've got Rashawn Gary and you've got Reuben Bain on the inside, that then allows Donovan Ezeraku to move over to that other side opposite Rashawn Gary. Now you've got a trio of edge rushers getting after the quarterback. That's going to present a lot of problems for opposing offenses. The Rams at 13. Could this be Kenyon Sadiq? Do they really go tight end 2 years in a row? I don't see it. Right tackle, Rob Havenstein's gone. Injuries finally caught up to him. This was a guy that was a mainstay for a number of years. He's out. Warren McClendon is there. He played well. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. If he plays well again, he may price himself out of the Rams' price range because, look, the Rams still have to sign Puka Nacua. They got to sign Byron Young. You got to sign Kobe Turner. And then the interior of that offensive line could look very different as well because you got Steve Avila, Coleman Shelton, and Kevin Dotson all in the final year of their deals. Spencer Fano would be that insurance policy for whatever position. But I have this feeling that Mekhi Lemon is destined to be an LA Ram. Just make the travel from the 105 to the 110, from SoFi to the LA Coliseum, and Les Snead would be able to watch, you know, Mekhi Lemon play there locally. Mekhi Lemon is parts JSN and parts Amon-Ra St. Brown. And his measurements are right around the same as Amon-Ra, and he ran a little bit faster with the 4.48 40. Here's the thing with Lemon. You've got Nacua, and you've got Davante Adams. You add Lemon to the mix, and now you've got a trio of receivers, probably the best trio in all of football for Matthew Stafford. Then when Adams, likely they won't be able to sign him, because he's, guess what, he's also a free agent. Then you have Mekhi Lemon there as the number two to Puka Nacua. I think it just makes way too much sense. Sean McVay, Les Snead, looking to the future there and targeting the receiver. They can always go after the offensive line there on day two, like they've done with Avila, with McClendon. You can target a guy later on in the draft. 14, the Baltimore Ravens. Is this Venga Iwane? I mean, you did lose Daniel Fa'alele. You have John Simpson in there. Then you have Emory Jones Jr. and Andrew Voorhees. I still think they're going to target a guard at some point. I just don't think it's Iwane, only because you lose Isaiah Likely and Lamar Jackson needs additional weapons. Zay Flowers needs help. Could it be a receiver? Could it possibly be Omar Cooper Jr., Jordan Tyson if he were to fall because of the injuries? I think it's Kenyon Sadiq. Declan Doyle was with the Bears. He's a Ben Johnson disciple. And what happened with the Bears? You had Cole Kmet on the roster, and you drafted Colston Loveland. What do you have here? You have Mark Andrews on the roster. You end up drafting Kenyon Sadiq. 4.39 40, 43-inch vertical leap. This is a guy that could be a threat up the seam. You can line him up all over, in the slot, as an inline, on the outside, and he would be a nice complement to Zay Flowers and would be an excellent target there for Lamar Jackson. Kenyon Sadiq to Baltimore at number 14 overall. Gets you to 15 in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This could also be a landing spot for Kenyon Sadiq. Cade Otton is back. He was the fourth leading receiver on the team. You lose Mike Evans. There isn't a receiver here necessarily that you want to target. So this could very well be Kenyon Sadiq. I just think, you know, Jason Light, he always takes the best player available, and you never know exactly what he's going to do. I have him taking Venga Iwane out of Penn State, 6'4 and 320 pounds. This dude is nasty. He's physical at the point of attack. I think he'll overtake Ben Bredesen there at left guard next to Tristan Wirfs. But the right side, Cody Mauch coming off of a knee injury. I think he could also step in for Mauch if needed there as well. The strength, the balance, the power. And oh yeah, by the way, he only gave up 4 pressures, 0 sacks in the last 2 seasons at Penn State. Iwane to the Buccaneers. Number 16, the Jets are up on the clock again. Is this Ty Simpson? No, definitely not. I think this is Omar Cooper Jr., the receiver out of Indiana. And Garrett Wilson, injury-plagued 2025 season. Without him, the passing game really just suffered. They bring in Adonai Mitchell in the Sauce Gardner deal. Showed promise. 24 receptions, 301 yards, and a couple of scores. I think he's a nice weapon there on the outside. Omar Cooper Jr. is a bully in the slot. Let's face it. This dude, after the catch, is physical. He's going to get down the field. I think he'd be the perfect complement. Ran a 4.42 40 at the combine. He's got the requisite speed to win over the top as well. I love that pairing with Garrett Wilson. So Omar Cooper Jr. to the Jets at 16, which takes us to the Detroit Lions at 17. And I think Detroit is going to definitely target a tackle. If Caden Proctor is on the board, he's the pick to be their left tackle opposite Penei Sewell. If he's off the board, then I think this is Monroe Freeling. And the reason why Freeling, you know, kind of falls behind Caden Proctor is only because he has 16 starts. But I think he's positioned himself as one of the best left tackles in the draft. Easy mover as a pass protector. Quick feet, fluid. You see the kick slide. They've got to replace Taylor Decker at left tackle. Could you go with an edge rusher to pair with Aiden Hutchinson? Absolutely. Could you potentially go with the corner? Absolutely. But I think at the end of the day, replacing Decker has to be the priority. Whether it's Proctor or it's Freeling, that has to be the pick here at number 17 overall. So Freeling to the Lions at number 17. You get to 18 in the Minnesota Vikings, and I think ultimately this just feels like a Dylan Thienemann pick. You've got Harrison Smith. Harrison Smith is likely gone. He's retired, you know, likely retiring, possibly moving on to another team, but he hasn't re-signed yet. To replace him, Brian Flores is going to want a high football IQ safety patrolling the back end of his defense. Dylan Thienemann is absolutely that. Very active, nearly had 3 seasons of 100-plus tackles, missed it by 4 tackles with the Ducks, but with the Boilermakers and the Ducks, 8 interceptions, 14 pass breakups in his career, then ran a 4.36 with a 41-inch vertical leap at the combine. I think Thienemann to the Vikings at 18 makes a ton of sense. You get to the Carolina Panthers at 19. Will Spencer Fano really fall this far? I mean, it's possible. I mean, we've already kind of talked through some of these picks. He can very well go to the Rams. He could be a Dolphin. He could be a Brown. But at the end of the day, if he ends up sliding a little bit, Carolina is sitting there. They're going to get a guy that they can probably put in as their starting pivot right away, replacing Luke Fortner. Fortner is obviously, they signed him to take over that spot, but I think that would be an upgrade already. And when you look at it as well, if you want him to play tackle, Ike Mokwonu is coming off a patellar tendon injury. What's the status there? And Taylor Moten, don't forget, 32 years of age, and if they let him go, SpotTrack.com is noting that that's like a $14 million savings for Carolina. So I look at Spencer Fano, I think that makes a ton of sense. So Spencer Fano to the Panthers, if Fano's off the board, this could be where Keldrick Falk goes because they absolutely need pass rush help as well. 29th in the league with 30 sacks, the third straight season where they finished among the bottom 4 teams. Nick Scorton's there. They brought in Jalen Phillips to help him out. You got, you know, Princely Umamielen. I think Keldrick Falk would be a great pick here. Akeem Mezidore is another one to be on the watch for. Those are guys that I had going to Carolina in previous mock drafts. I think Spencer Fano, if he's on the board, makes the most sense, though, there at 19. You got to be able to take care of Bryce Young. At number 20 overall, this is the Dallas Cowboys. They've got the second pick. Second first-rounder, this was in the trade that sent Micah Parsons to Green Bay, and I think they target the cornerback position, and here's why. You've got Siobhan Revell slated to start as one outside corner. Deron Bland really needs to be the nickel. That's a key position in Christian Parker's defensive scheme. You bring in Kobe Durant. He was signed in free agency, but he's had an up and down career with the Rams. And really down the stretch, the Rams secondary got exposed in the playoffs. I think you add another corner who can push Durant from starting spot opposite Revell. And Chris Johnson of San Diego State, his stock has continued to rise. One of the country's top ball hawks, 6 interceptions, 2 of which were returned for touchdowns, 14 pass breakups, and 5 forced fumbles. He's disciplined. He doesn't panic. He trusts his technique, stays right on the hip pocket, will squeeze the defender to the sideline, also can plant, change direction without any wasted movement, excellent ball skills, ran a 4.440 at the combine, 38 inches in the vertical leap. Cowboys can expect a top flight athlete there at corner. Chris Johnson, number 20 to the Dallas Cowboys. A 21 overall, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I had a corner here originally. I had Jermaine McCoy, but because of all the issues with his knee, I moved off of that. And really, here's the big reason why. I don't think they're going quarterback, first of all, because we don't want necessarily another Kenny Pickett situation. Ty Simms has only had 15 starts under his belt. And you know, when you talk about Mac Wilson and Anthony Richardson and Trey Lance and Mitchell Trubisky, that would be just too risky for the Steelers to take Ty Simpson here. So I'm looking at the offensive line. And here's ultimately why I think the offensive line is going to make sense. You look at Broderick Jones, right? He's your left tackle. Troy Fatone is playing out of position at right tackle. And with Jones, he's injured right now. And the problem there, too, is, I don't think they're going to pick up his fifth-year option. And his play has just been underwhelming. You want to get a right tackle to ultimately move Fatanu over to his more natural position at left tackle. That's where he played at Washington. Blake Miller out of Clemson. This is the guy that I think could do just that for them. Started all 54 games in his Clemson career. Known as basically the Iron Man in the ACC. Gave up just 2 sacks, 2 missed running assignments last year, according to Pro Football Focus. This is a guy whose draft stock has just continued to rise because of the model of consistency there at right tackle. I think Pittsburgh, you need to address that offensive line. And, Broderick Jones is likely on his way out. Bring in Blake Miller to replace him. Chargers at number 22. They would love to see Venga Iwane fall. I think there is a world where that happens. They could obviously have him start where Trevor Penning was going to be lining up. He brought in Cole Strange. He brought in Tyler Biadasz. Penning could then move back to being a swing tackle behind Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt. Ultimately, I think this is an edge rusher if Iwane is not on the board. Could they go Chase Besantis? That feels a little early. Maybe they trade down and get Besantis. But I think edge rusher, you've got Khalil Mack who was re-signed for another season. Odafe Owe is now in Washington. You need somebody who's going to be a long-term answer opposite Tuli Tuipulotu, who has really flourished and become one of the top pass rushers in the league. Finished 6th in the league with 13 sacks this past season. I mentioned Keldrick Falk. He had 7 sacks in 2024 as a sophomore. Didn't really build upon that, but this is a guy who was so good against the run. He reminds you of Trayvon Walker in that way. And if he can ever develop that pass rush and be consistent with it, he could be a steal. He's one of the youngest guys in the draft, too, by the way. So this is a guy that I think can really grow and become a top-level pass rusher. I think this is great value for him sitting there at number 22 overall. Eagles at 23. Could they go receiver? Possibly Denzel Boston with this pick. I think they could, especially with all the talk these days about A.J. Brown possibly becoming a New England Patriot. I think the Eagles probably target a receiver on day 2. So I'm actually looking at the Eagles targeting an offensive lineman here. You've got Maxie Nachor out of Arizona State, the 6'6", 321-pounder. This guy's new to football, and yet when you saw him play, he held up better against the duo of David Bailey and Romello Hyde from Texas Tech. Held up better than any other offensive lineman going up against them. You watch that tape and you walk away really impressed. He's got the lateral agility that a basketball player has. You can see that movement just reminds you of a basketball player. And then he shows up at the Senior Bowl and was consistently handling the defensive ends in the one-on-one drills. So there's a lot to work with. Runs a 4.9 140 at the combine, so you see the athleticism there as well. He can slip behind Lane Johnson. And here's why I think, you know, this is a great pick. Lane Johnson, 13-year NFL career, going to have the gold jacket one day, but he's missed 30-plus games in his career, including 8 this past season due to a Lisfranc injury. Under contract through the 2027 season, I think that 2026 could very well be his last. So even if it's not, you get somebody in the door who can develop and learn from Lane, and then whenever he decides to hang it up, then they move in and take over that starting job. And I think Iheanacho needs a place where he's not rushed into things. You know, his playing time won't be rushed. He can continue to polish his game and then eventually take over later on. I think it's a match made in heaven. Cleveland sitting there at 24. Now, this could be Denzel Boston, but I'm going with Casey Concepcion here. 6 foot, 196. He's going to give Todd Monken, the new head coach, his version of Zay Flowers. Concepcion, 28 touchdowns for NC State and Texas A&M. Quicker than he is fast, but he's able to separate so quickly and could be a legit vertical threat there for Cleveland. They need a top-end wideout. Jerry Jeudy is not it. He's more of a complimentary receiver. I think Casey Concepcion can step in there and be that guy for them. 25, the Bears. I think the Bears could go in a number of directions. This could be a safety to replace Jaquan Brisker, and that's Emmanuel McNeil Warren. I think that could very well be the pick there. I think A.J. Halsey could end up being the guy on day two to take over at safety. D-tackle could be another fix there as well, right? They're 29th in rushing yards per attempt, and it could very well be Caden McDonald with this pick, or possibly even Peter Woods. You know, bounce that, you know, a lot of different ideas around. Ultimately, I think it's going to be an edge rusher, and you think about it, Montez Sweat, 10 sacks a season ago, established himself as one of the elite pass rushers, but no real consistency opposite him. Austin Booker was the only other defensive end with multiple sacks. He's more of a complimentary piece. When you think about it, the Bears were tied with the Bengals for the worst pass rush win rate at 29%, according to Pro Football Focus. I think Akeem Mezidor is the guy. A lot of people are worried about the 25 years of age, but Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, if they believe that they have the window right now and a path to the Super Bowl, they don't really care. Mezidor could come in and play opposite Sweat right away, much like he did with Reuben Bain, complemented each other so well with the Hurricanes. 12 and a half sacks, forced fumbles a season ago. You know, he could bend the edge, brute force on the inside as well. You can slide him inside and then have a trio there with Booker and Sweat. He's going to get you with the inside out move on one play, attack the edge on another, and then convert speed to power to get the offensive tackle off balance. Then he'll take advantage of an overset right after that with a quick move inside to get a clear path to the quarterback. He's always looking for a counter, keeps working until the whistle. Excellent complimentary piece for Montez Sweat. So I think you have Akeem Mezidor, 25 overall to the Chicago Bears. At 26, the Buffalo Bills. This could be a pass rusher, and I'll throw out a name. Malachi Lawrence is a guy his draft stock is rising at UCF. You watch the tape, and this is a guy who I think his best football is still ahead of him. When you look at it, Gregory Rousseau led the team in sacks for the second consecutive season with 7, but he needs help. They brought in Bradley Chubb, so that could be tempered a little bit. I think at the linebacker spot, this is going to be a little early for C.J. Allen or Anthony Hill Jr. or any of the other linebackers. So I ultimately think this is going to be a defensive tackle. I'm looking at Caden McDonald, the big dude out of Ohio State, 6'2", 326 pounds. You know, he resets the line of scrimmage on virtually every play. Violent hands, tremendous power at the point of attack. He doesn't always tend to win early, so the pass rush, you know, potential could be a little limited. But here's the thing. He's very active. He's going to continue to work. And when you think about it, he was 5th on the team in tackles with 65. And 3 of those Buckeyes in front of him, Sonny Styles, Arvell Reese, Caleb Downs, we just talked about them in the top 10. Nonstop motor, 4th on the roster in both tackles for loss with 9 and sacks with 3. He could be that nose tackle that frees up Ed Oliver and allows Deion Walker to rotate over to the 5 technique in Jim Leonard's 3-4 defense. So Caleb McDonald to the Bills at number 26 makes sense. You get to the 49ers at 27. This could be Malachi Lawrence. I actually had him going to the 49ers in round number 2. It could be TJ Parker, who we'll talk about here in a minute. It could even be Zion Young, who I'm a big fan of, and a guy who I think, you know, you're getting a solid player in round 2 if he happens to fall. And I think Zion could very well go to Miami in round 2. But San Francisco, you've got you've got Trent Williams, and you know the $38 million cap hit with an option. You know, what was it, March 20th, for SpotTrack.com, and so it's one of those things. What do you do with the 38-year-old? He's going to be back, but the question is when is he going to hang it up? How long is he going to be there? You need to get somebody in, learn from Williams, and eventually take over. I'm looking at Caleb Lomu out of Utah, 6'6", 313, the redshirt sophomore, still developing as a run blocker. You see the athleticism as a pass blocker. And he's good enough. He was good enough that ultimately they moved Spencer Fonnell over to the right side. So I think Lomu to the 49ers at 27 makes sense. You get to Houston at 28. I think if Maxi Anacho is on the board, you take him to be that eventual replacement for Braden Smith, who they brought in free agency. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. Trent Brown hasn't been able to stay healthy. So you need that right tackle of the future. But I think you could go for a more immediate need at the guard spot, because I think they can do better than Ed Ingram and Wyatt Teller. You know, if he goes down to injury, you have that insurance as well. I'm looking at Chase Besantis out of Texas A&M, 6'5", 315. Powerful, powerful, powerful at the point of attack. Heavy-handed, tremendous grip strength, controls his man at the point of attack. Mean streak, always looking to manhandle and bury his opponent. This could also be a D-tackle. Possible if Cade McDonald's still on the board. I think it'd be a stretch to go after, you know, Caleb Banks. It could be Peter Woods, although I've got the Texans taking Woods at the top of round number two. So I think Chase Besantis to the Texans at number 28 makes sense. You get to 29 in the Chiefs. Chiefs have to get a corner, whether it's Mansoor Delane at number 9 or with this pick at number 29. They have to get a corner because you lost Trent McDuffie, you lost Jalen Watson. You need a CB1. Jermaine McCoy, there's a lot of talk that he may fall to round 2 because of his ACL. And concerns about the degeneration with the knee as well. McCoy, you put on the film from 2024, best cornerback likely in the draft, right? And he had his workout, ran a 4.38 40, showed that he's all the way back from the ACL. So again, there are going to be concerns about the knee. The Chiefs, they were not concerned when they drafted Josh Simmons in the 2025 draft. Just think about that. At number 32 overall, coming off the patellar tendon injury, they signed Josh Simmons, and guess who's playing up front, you know, starting? It's Josh Simmons. So I think Jermaine McCoy, they're not going to shy away from it. They get tremendous value at number 29, a guy who, you know, could very well be CB1 in this draft class. Number 30, the Dolphins. If the Dolphins go with an offensive lineman, this is going to be Denzel Boston, hands down. You go offensive line at number 11, Denzel Boston at 30. But if Jordan Tyson is the pick, and that's what I believe is going to happen, then this is going to be a corner. I think, you know, at this point, you're not going to be able to get a tackle, which is another reason why maybe they do go Fano, and then they have Boston in their back pocket. But in any event, I look at this. They don't have Jack Jones. They don't have Rasul Douglas signed. You know, so really, your starting group is going to be Daryl Baker Jr., Storm Duck, Juju Brents. I'm looking at Colton Hood, press corner, tremendous physicality, looks to get his hands on the receiver to disrupt the release, reroutes really well, 4.44 40, so he can run stride for stride on those vertical routes, can also throttle down and come back to the ball, knack for making plays, 10 pass breakups this past season, 50-50 balls, yeah, this is a guy that's going to climb the ladder, 40.5-inch vertical leap. I think Hood could be CB1 for Miami very early on in his career, if not as a rookie. At 31, the New England Patriots. Patriots could look offensive line, especially Besantis if he's around. But I ultimately look at the edge rush position. Harold Landry led the team with 8 sacks. Clavin Chaisson, who's gone, had 7.5. And then Elijah Ponder had 4, but he's not really ready for a larger role. You need an edge rusher that can step in to work with Landry, Milton Williams, and Christian Barmore. And TJ Parker, who I mentioned earlier, is a guy that at one point we thought was a top 5 pick because, you know, he had 15.5 sacks, 32 tackles for loss in his first 2 seasons, managed just 5.5 sacks in 2025, but still had 41 pressures. This is a guy that loves his length, uses it to his advantage, will use that long arm to help, you know, use that lever to slingshot himself around the corner, use that softer edge, be able to flatten out and get to the quarterback. He dominated at the Senior Bowl, again, using that length to his advantage, winning with explosiveness. I think TJ Parker at 31 to the Patriots makes a lot of sense. Then you get to 32 and the Seattle Seahawks. And obviously, we know that the Super Bowl champs lost Super Bowl MVP Kenneth Walker III to KC. Zach Charbonnet coming off a torn ACL sustained in January. He's probably not going to be ready to go. So who's going to be your starting running back? I think this is going to be a running back, whoever Seattle takes with their first pick. I'm looking at Jadarian Price out of Notre Dame. You know, he split time with Jeremiah Love. He could do the same with Zach Charbonnet. Finished the season with 11 touchdowns on the ground. Very smooth runner. Excellent instincts to find the holes. Gets downhill in a hurry. Explosive. Not the biggest back, but he has that contact balance to keep that balance, keep that momentum going forward. John Schneider only has 4 picks. I would venture to guess he's moving out of this pick. I already said that maybe he'll talk to the Cardinals. Maybe he can get some picks there from Monty Austin Ford if he's looking to trade up. I think ultimately he's going to look to try to shop this pick to get some additional draft capital for this year's draft. So whenever Seattle picks, I think they're targeting a running back. It could be Mike Washington Jr. if Jadarian Price is off the board. But if Jadarian Price is there, then I think he ends up being the pick. Look, Seattle, when you think about Kenneth Walker III and Zach Charbonnet, Mike Washington Jr. kind of fits that profile a little bit better. If that's ultimately what Mike McDonald is looking for, then he could end up being the pick, depending on how far down they trade. But if it's going to be earlier on, I think Jadarian Price would be too good to pass on. So just keep an eye out there for the Seahawks. Who do they trade with? Is it the Cardinals? Is somebody else looking to trade up into the end of round one? Maybe the Raiders decide to slide up there and get Denzel Boston to give Fernando Mendoza his number one wideout. A lot of different options could come into play here. Could the Rams potentially look to trade up to 32 overall to get a quarterback of the future to take the place of Matthew Stafford? You know, a lot of different things could happen. That's why the NFL draft is so much fun. And I hope everyone is as excited as I am that the 23rd of April is here. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is going to be in full force in prime time. Make sure you tune in. ESPN, NFL Network, ABC, all the coverage. Watch all the guys breaking everything down. I'm excited. I hope you are as well. And let's just get this thing going. So that was my final 2026 NFL Draft mock first round. My entire 7-round mock is on the readyforthedraft.com website. And I can't wait until after the draft to break down the picks, really see who did well, who and where were the head scratchers, and you know really what are the best fits with the draft picks. So I can't wait to get that done. But first things first, we got to watch this first round tomorrow. So until next time, everyone, for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Enjoy the draft tomorrow. And until next time, I am out of here.